Keith, can you push your, you need to push that button. Your mic's not on.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Redistricting Advisory Committee meeting for June 16th, 2021. I'd like to welcome those of you who are on Zoom. Please feel free to use the chat, I believe, or raise your hand on the screen if you'd like to speak at the appropriate time. At this time, I'll ask Heather to do the roll call. She's going to include alternates as well, so we have a complete idea of who's here. I know we have our two folks here in District 2, I believe, are absent tonight. They've called in, excused the absence. So, Heather?
Thank you. District 1, Chairman Sweet?
Here.
Regular, Mr. Garibaldi?
Here.
Alternate, Mr. Jorgensen? District 2 regular, Ms. Araka. She may be joining via Zoom. Regular, Mr. Inyart is absent this evening. District 3 regular, Vice Chairman Ms. Anderson.
Here.
Regular, Ms. Thompson. District 4 regular, Mr. Byrne.
Here.
Regular, Mr. Baracco.
Here.
Alternate, Ms. Houghton. District 5 regular, Mr. Dell.
Present.
Regular, Mr. Patton?
Here.
Alternate, Ms. Heisenbuttel?
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Garibaldi if he'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to remind everybody that I believe masks are no longer required in this room, but if you wish to wear one, please do so if it makes you feel more comfortable. Entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
So moved. Seconded.
Moved by Garibaldi, seconded by Byrne. Are we going that way again?
I think we both said at the same time, so that's fine.
That's fine. Okay.
There's no race.
Mr. Riley, are we required to do roll call votes, or can we just vote?
You can just vote. If everybody is in agreement, then she'll list it. Usually what we do is we just, if it passes, then you list those who voted against.
Right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Opposed? No opposed? Abstentions? None? Good. Approval of the May 19th minutes. You all received them from Heather, the email.
I move for approval.
I second.
I have a motion for approval and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstention? Okay, we'll move on. Public matters not on the agenda. We'd like you to limit your speech to 5 minutes or less. Anyone in the public that would like to address this commission? Seeing none, hearing none, we'll move on. California Citizens for Redistricting. They contacted Mr. Riley, and we have. Do you hear from them?
I have requested that they present to the joint meeting between this committee and the board.
Well, that's good. That means we have one less item on our agenda. We can move forward. Community Interest Outreach Forum. We've had several discussions regarding a survey and a flyer, and we disseminated some of that information to you. I'm going to turn it over to Katya, and she'll lead this discussion. I would like, if at all possible, that we leave this room tonight with a completed survey and a completed flyer and possibly some additional comments with respect to or ideas with respect to outreach, so that when we have our joint board meeting, we can at least present to the board that some two things that we've accomplished thus far. So, Katya.
Okay, good evening, everybody.
Heather, can you please put up the community outreach form up on the board, please? The flyer.
Just one moment.
By the way, those of you sitting out in the audience during this conversation, if you just want to step up, if you want to make a comment, just step up to the microphone and she'll work you in. You want to start with that one? She got it up? Or?
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so this is the most recent flyer that we have for the community outreach. And so there were some small modifications that were brought up via email from a couple of different people for ideas and whatnot. One was changing the contraction your to you are invited to participate, as well as if you were to scroll down just a little bit right there, to reflect in a civic process that will determine the supervisorial district boundaries until 2030 to better communicate with our audience that we're trying to relate to. In regards to the flyer, that was the only two modifications. Does everyone seem happy with that?
I want to repeat that again. Heather, do you have that? Did you catch that?
I apologize. I did not. If you could please repeat yourself. And in addition to that, we do have some audience members that would like to speak via Zoom.
Okay, great. So just wanted to change the contraction your to you are, as well as the subtitle that reads will impact the 2022 elections and instead reflect in a civic process that will determine the supervisorial district boundaries until 2030.
Thank you.
Okay.
Are we taking any Zoom comments at this time?
Yes, of course.
Ms. Carlson, if you could please unmute yourself. Go ahead when ready.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you that for the Zoom people, the flyer is not up on the screen. It's something else that's up, and none of us can see it.
Yep, I see the problem. We will get that fixed real quick. Thanks. See it now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions?
None at this time.
And nobody from our audience here today?
We do have another question. Ms. Evett, please go ahead when ready. You can unmute yourself.
Hi, I was just going to recommend that instead of using the word impact, use effect.
Yeah, so the subtitle there that you're reading currently is going to be changed to read in a civic process that will determine the supervisorial district boundaries until 2030. So the word impact will no longer be there.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you. We also have the Amador City office. Please go ahead when ready and unmute yourself.
Hi, I'm Ann Kellartinian. I'm the mayor of Amador City, and I'm curious about the question. I guess it's question number 8. A community of interest is described as a geographic cohesive area, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think this county's communities of interest are represented well? And then you give an opportunity to rate things. Would you also, in that question, offer an opportunity to make a comment?
Okay, can you hold on just a second? Let us get to that part. Let's get
that up. I thought that we were talking about the survey. I'm sorry.
We'll get there just a second. We'll bring it up so everybody can see it.
Okay, thank you. I will wait until then.
I'm going to slide down on the flyer to raise the flyer. I want to see the bottom of the flyer. I think for additional info, contact. We have a new email address, which is
redistrictingamador@amadorgov.org.
Right. So that should be changed.
Okay.
Otherwise, the survey connection takes you there. So what we have is we have a flyer that indicates that we're looking for comments. They can fill out a survey, which we're going to talk about, and we have our email address on there. So at this point, I want to ask Chuck, Mr. Beatty, a question. Can we get our names on the website? Okay. And maybe just and with our districts, so that someone who wishes to contact us using that email can contact us. They know who is on the commission. I was going to bring it up later, but I thought of it this time. I'm sorry, Katya, go ahead.
Okay, so at this time, I'm going to move to proceed to the survey questions. Okay. So the first, it looks like questions. The questions on the board, numbers 1 through 8 and number 10, were our original questions, and 9 and 10 have been added since. Does everyone have a copy or can see the questions?
Yes, this is what's being shared right now, that Word document.
Okay, so there's some additions since what was sent out to us for the packet.
These what's in red were suggestions that were turned in by committee members.
Oh, okay.
And
thanks.
Heather just typed them in there. So,
perfect.
So
okay,
that we didn't
thank
have
you.
To have another piece of paper in front of us.
Thanks.
So regarding these additional edits, how do people feel about that after finished reading? Beginning with question number 6, please.
Well, I think it ought to just be dropped. I don't think it really helps us.
No, I think that's the point of whoever.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah, that was my first question.
There was no committee, so
okay.
There was no commission back in 2010, so no. Question 6 is
okay.
So we'll remove that. Question 6, Heather.
So then perhaps question 7 could be altered to instead read, what information did you want or need that was not available in the 2010 redistricting process? instead.
Or it could just be, what additional information are you looking for in this whole process? I think more to the point, because I think we're less concerned about what happened 10 years ago. And so we're just looking for feedback of what they want now, regardless of what it compared to what it was 10 years ago.
Let's go up to question one and work our way down.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think a question might be, what, it might be a little meta at this point, what are we trying to get out of this questionnaire? What is the information that we want to get from people who are filling it out? I'm not certain there's a, if I'm not certain I'm getting a good feel for what we're actually looking for.
So what we were mostly looking to understand was if there was any communities of interest so that they were not being overlooked. And I was also including a general analysis of questions about the redistricting process in itself. That way, we're not only focusing on the communities of interest, and that we get a entire field view of what's going on.
Okay. If you look at... there's quite a few community of interest surveys out there, and I ran a few of them by this one, and this one is pretty much compares pretty well to most of them and has a similar kinds of questions. I think the first question, I can't speak for the committee that developed it, but we do want to know if the person's, you know, if we're taking any tallies of things, we'd like to know if you're actually an Amador County resident versus not, I would think.
If
I may, committee members and members of the audience in attendance and also via Zoom, if you could kindly state your name when you speak, please. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Ann Clarkinian again. For that question, could you also add, if you're not a resident, what is your association with Amador County? So, for example, it could be a business owner, or it could be, you know, a part-time person.
Good point.
So are you suggesting to get, like, a better analysis of who is taking our survey?
Right. I feel like you want to separate people who have no interest in Amador County from people, like, you know, people who maybe just, for whatever reason, trying to influence the outcome of the survey, from people who do have an interest, you know, who are for example, if they're business owners, or they spend a significant portion of their time here, but they're not full time.
So if no, that's a key sweet. So if yes. No, what relationship do you have to Amador County?
Is that yes.
Okay. Okay, have that, Heather?
We have another hand up, too.
Ms. Evett, were you looking to speak?
I'm sorry, I forgot to take my hand down, and I have done so now. Thank you.
Okay, we do have a question here in the audience.
If we could, Ms. Effett was, I believe she was ready to go, right? Oh, sorry.
That was inadvertent.
Mike.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to suggest, would it help with the data gathering if the first question were something like, are you a resident, business owner, property owner, instead of an open-ended question, or visitor, or something like that?
So do you guys think that we should stick with, like, a multiple choice kind of idea, or leave it open-ended? Pretty neutral, it looks like. Okay.
I guess, Andy Byrne here, I would be wondering, is this being mechanically tabulated? And if that's the case, then the individual answers where easily done might be helpful. And if that's so, we should enumerate what we think then what those options are.
Yeah, definitely. So that is one of the things why we were rolling with a multiple choice selection, was because that way we could see the statistics of how people were voting on their surveys. So, yeah, I think we could do like a multiple choice and then have like if all of the other ones don't work. Yeah.
Other's always a great answer.
Mr. Beatty? You don't have the capability to mechanically tally these answers, do you? I mean, it's manually. We have to manually look at each survey form turned in and tally it.
If those questions are included on the hub website, then it will automatically tally those, and then it'll produce statistics for those if we want.
Yeah.
As long as they are a multiple choice type question, if there's a question that where they write in something, then.
Right. If it's a multiple choice yes no question, it'll automatically do that. If it's a written answer, then we'll have to go through those individually. Okay. Share those with the committee.
Okay. All right. Does everyone feel solid about that question? We can move on.
Well, we should actually enumerate what we're going to put in it. You know, is it a resident, business owner, employed in here, recreational, or I'm just throwing these out. I'm not sure what the right answer would be, but I think we should have those settled out if we're going to settle this form tonight.
Okay.
And then whatever, and then the other. So.
Okay. So.
We have another Zoom question.
Ms. Carlson, please go ahead when ready.
Yes, I was wondering, are you going to allow more than one answer to these, and is that going to skew your data? Because maybe somebody could be a resident and a business owner and would answer both of those. Is that going to matter, or is that going to skew your data?
So they would only get the choice to choose one. So if they choose yes, that they're a resident, then that would encompass everyone from the Amador County, and if it is not a resident of Amador County, then they'd be like a business worker who travels into Amador County, for example, to conduct business, or a vacation home owner who comes up to visit, kind of thing.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be true. You're going to have to say that for all of these, though, answer just once. Just you go down.
This is Tom Patton, District 5. Would it be germane to ask them if they are registered to vote in this county?
Andy Byrne here. I don't think that's germane, because this is a districting issue. It's based on population, not on registered voters.
Okay.
We do have another Zoom member who would like to speak. Ms. Evett, please go ahead when ready.
Hi, thank you. I was just piggybacking on Ms. Carlson's comment that you might want to have question one become two questions. One is, are you a resident of Amador County? Yes, no. And the second would be, if no, what is your relationship to Amador County? And have that be multiple choice.
I agree with that one, Andy Byrne.
That relationship would be homeowner, business owner, employee. Pardon?
So you're right.
I'm sorry. Recreational visitor may be another one.
Sure. Okay.
Hi, Rebecca Brown. When I look at that first question, it seems to me that you can do the resident, like we talked about, yes or no, but it could imitate something as a point number two that's similar to what you have up here, like how did you learn? City website, county office, friend, newsletter. So you can list those things. And I do think it's of value to find out those characters, characteristics, and whether it's a business, a landowner who's not living here, part-time resident, et cetera, et cetera. That's valuable information. So you might not want to pass on that extra info and use the same pattern that you've been doing for two, three, four, five, six, well, five, that kind of style. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your input.
Got another one.
And this is Ann Kellertinian again. Another sort of off of what Catherine said and also what Rebecca suggested, it could be a simple multiple choice question. It could say Amador County resident, non-resident business owner, non-resident property owner, non-resident recreational user, so that there's categories that show that you're, you know, a non-resident. You could do that in one question.
Thank you.
You got that, Heather? Okay.
Okay, so I'm moving to push for the number one to remain the same. Are you a resident of Amador County, yes or no? And then have a subsection of question one, perhaps titled 1.2 or 1.1 or something. And if not, the options could be landowner, non-resident, part-time resident, non-recreational user, and recreational user, and business person, non-resident.
Get everybody's?
Okay. Andy Byrne, I think other would also be appropriate if somebody wants to come off the beaten track on that one.
Sounds good. Okay, moving on to question number two. How did you learn of Amador County Redistricting Advisory Committee meetings? Does anyone feel that one should change? If in what way? Right, I'm seeing and hearing no one, so I'm going to move to question three. Did you visit the Amador County Redistricting website for what, and if not, no? Okay, we have a comment from Zoom.
Yes, just to reiterate what I said before, are you going to let people answer more than one here? And if so, that's fine. But that, you know, people may have found out about the redistricting committee from several sources. So I just think you either have to say, please don't, you know, only mark one answer, or of all of these. You know, depending what kind of data you want.
Chuck, can you answer that? Can we do tally more than one response on a question? Or do we have to let them know they can only choose one?
I think on these questions, as simple as the software is, you're just going to answer one.
Okay.
And maybe and like on the how did you learn about it, or what are you a resident, and then the other options that you have, maybe the question is which best suits your interest. I did want to say something about that current question. Did you visit the redistricting website? And there's an answer for no. I think that's where you're going to find this information, so that's not an option.
Andy Byrne here. So when you click on it, it's not going to let you answer more than one question. So I think that saying that becomes moot, right? Because the program itself will, if you click a second one, the first one will go away.
Go away, right.
Right. So I think people have done these forms before. I don't think that's going to be a big issue. And if they want to, at the end, they can write down what they didn't say, you know, because we have a we can have it as, you know, for other information. There's always, we're always taking written comment on it. So I think if they're having a problem with that, they can put that as their comment.
Good. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay. So does everyone think that question number three should remain the same?
Remove no.
Okay.
No, why would we remove no? I think what Chuck was just saying, that most people would be answering that way, or I'm not sure what we do, because I think no is a...
It's the redistricting website to get to the questionnaire.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
They will be on the website
You will be there, right, yeah.
I understand that perspective.
But that could be an error check.
Yeah, there you go.
I was thinking about the initial point of contact that the person receives from us, and then this website would just be the way that they can answer the survey, so it's not necessarily the initial point of contact.
Oh, yeah, I see. That's a little it's a catch-22 on this question with that one. Being the fact that this questionnaire is on that website, at some point, do we even need this question? Because they're going to be there already. And I think...
Okay, so I'll just say, I'll take out no then.
I think you could also just remove the whole question, because the whole question is, have they been to the website? And the mere fact that they're there, they're on the website.
Well, it's not asking, did you visit it? It's, did you visit it for what? Like, what did you visit?
Yeah, okay. I'm not.
And the other thing we have to keep in mind, I think, that we probably lost track of, is that this survey can be printed. We can hand these survey out.
Fair enough.
To other places. So.
Okay, so I'm going to call that one good. Moving on to question number four.
We do have another question.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Evett, please go ahead when ready.
Yeah, I was just going to recommend that you say, why did you visit the Amador County Redistricting website?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to question number four. Were there obstacles that prevented your participating in meetings or providing input? Give some options and other or no. Does everyone feel that one suffices? I'm seeing shaking heads. Good. Thumbs up. Great. Proceeding to question five. Was the information on the Amador County Redistricting website useful? Gives a score rating. Okay, question.
Ann Heisenbuttel, District 5. It would be helpful, I think, if you have an answer, fair or poor, what needs to be changed? What are you looking for? Something to get more information so we can correct it.
It's question seven.
Okay, any other input? Okay, moving on. Question seven, what information did you want / need that was not available? Recognize that I'm skipping over six.
We removed six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, if this is going to be handed out kind of thing, there we'll have to have space for them to actually reply, you know, a few lines.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, sounds good to me. Andy Byrne.
Okay, sounds good. Proceeding to the next question. A community of interest is described as a geographically cohesive area, such as a city, neighborhood, or ethnic enclave that tends to have similar interests and votes as a block. Do you think that the county's communities of interest are represented well? And a score grade.
I believe the person who turned that in
You're not on your mic.
Okay, sweet. I think the person who turned that into us is suggesting that we remove the italics sentence and replace it with, how would you describe your community of interest?
I agree. Andy Byrne, I agree with that. We're not grading how our representation's working. We're looking for feedback on how these groups can be included into the redistricting process. So the description would be really good, because I think that's what we're really looking for, right?
This is Tom Patton. I'm interested in knowing where are we informing the public on how to create a new community of interest? Are there instructions on the website somewhere? And the second part of my question is, would be part of that process is, are we as a part of the advisory committee in conflict of interest if we wish to proceed with one or lead one? Would that be a conflict of interest if I wanted to do one?
I'm not sure what your first statement was in having to do with community of interest. Could you say that again?
How do we create or recognize a new community of interest?
Well, I'm not sure we're talking about new community of interest. We're asking people to identify what they think is a community of interest. It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
It might be new. I mean, they might be coming up with a combination of something that no one else has ever thought of. But when we're talking about community of interest. In general, our website has some verbiage on it that identifies kind of what community of interests are. I mean, the city of Jackson is a community of interest.
Mm.
Okay, we have suggestions from people that have said that Pine Grove is a community of interest. River Pines is a community of interest. Ranchers in Ione are community of interest. You know, so those are. We're not trying to invent new community of interests. We're trying to identify what those are that are already here.
Okay, so what is the process for identifying that?
Well, we're taking input. For example, how would you describe your community of interest? A person on this run here would say, well, I live in the city of Jackson. Mm. Or the next person would say, well, I'm a grape grower. And I think all the grape growers should be within the same supervisorial district. And that's their suggestion. Then we have to decide how we want to do that.
So a community of interest is not a formal entity?
No.
Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
Okay.
I mean, a community of interest is a group. It's an association. It's a... I'm at a loss for all the different kinds of descriptors that could be a community of interest, but...
Is it?
And for that reason, that's why we put that definition into the question, because some people don't fully understand what a community of interest is, so this helps aid them in understanding.
So what would be the difference between a community of interest and a CDP?
A CDP is a community.
Yeah, it's one of them.
It is. And so on all these maps, there's a lot of CDPs called out.
Right.
Your block
are all community of interest.
Okay. So if we wanted to create another one of those, how would that get recognized? I mean, there must be some process for making that happen.
Well, from
it doesn't just happen out of ether.
You're talking about
the
creating
ether.
It as a census-designated area. There, you can be a community of interest without that cachet, so to speak. The census, the feds determine census-designated areas. We are going to determine community of interest beyond what the census has decided and beyond the...
if you could move to your mic, please.
Oh, yeah, and also beyond what the political boundaries are.
Okay.
So it's up to us.
And there was actually email here I see.
I don't want to tie up the whole agenda here with that question, but...
Yeah, sure.
I think that's the nut of what we're doing.
I know it's not going to be an easy answer.
When all is said and done, I mean, we're going to end up with five communities of interest.
We'll have plenty of communities.
A district.
We'll have districts.
Pardon? Well, well, five districts, each one is a community of interest by definition.
Yeah, but yeah, each district could contain more than one community.
Absolutely. And we'll probably end up splitting several communities of interest just in the course of having to draw a line somewhere. So, but that's will be part of the public input in our discussions moving forward.
It was recognized by Gary Reinl about having some of the communities of interest. He listed like Amador City, Amador Pines, like Buckhorn, Wandering Hills North, Woodland Road, Running Gold, like just like different areas that seemed cohesive geographically. And he also included communities with like road and landowner associations in an attempt to help keep them together. So I think that we do have the ability to make sure that communities of interest are maintained and upheld. That way they're not being overlooked. Of course, we'll try our best.
This is Ann Kellertinian. For this question, I think it would help if you're asking people to enter their own response to give some examples like the ones you just suggested. Because if I were to say I'm going to describe my community of interest, I might start describing the activities that people do here, their personal characteristics. It's really more which community of interest do I most identify with.
So you're suggesting giving a couple of examples in the... A
couple of examples. Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. And it could be something like, you know, e.g., you know, Amador City, Pine Grove, Running Gold, Lockwood, you know, some of the various... So that people could see that some of them are cities, some of them are, you know, population-designated areas, some of them are homeowner areas, some of them are business entities. I think that would help.
Yeah, we do have in the question, we have like recognizing that it could be a city or your neighborhood, et cetera. You're suggesting that instead of just labeling it as that, instead saying more specific ones like, for example, Red Corral. Ms. Kellertinian?
Yes, I think like, just as examples, you don't have to list every possible one, but give some examples so people can see what you're talking, what is possible in the list.
Sure. How does the board and community feel about that?
Well, we could put such as city, parentheses, Jackson, neighborhood, parentheses, River Pines, ethnic enclave. I'm not sure that we have any.
Like a church affiliation?
No. Honestly, I feel like the question is pretty straightforward. I think if people have other ideas, adding it in as a something that they write down, if they're defining something that doesn't come up in there, I think that would be fine for them to add, and we will see that. And we can add it to our lexicon when we're going through it.
You do have another comment via Zoom. We also have someone at the podium.
Gary Reinl. I'm really interested in what that sentence says about what is a community of interest. I believe it is not exactly what it says in the state law, and where it says, and votes as a block.
Yeah.
I believe that's the part that's not in the state law. I don't think there's any community in this county that votes as a block. So, thank you.
Ms. Labanco, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead when ready.
Hi, Jamie Labanco, District 5, Fiddletown. Thank you for taking my comments. I'm curious. I mean, I would argue that we do have an ethnic enclave in District 5 when it comes to our Hispanic community. And I'm wondering if this survey is put out in both English and Spanish. And I'm sorry if you guys have already addressed that. And then my second question was, if we're going to give examples of what a community of interest is, I think I would encourage you to include ag. Thank you.
Include what?
Agriculture.
Wayne Garibaldi, City of Jackson. I agree that that voting as a block probably doesn't add anything to this in terms of that. But the other thing that Keith and Jamie both have brought up is we say neighborhood, ethnic enclave. We might want to say something about economic interest, just because that could be that can be defined geography wise, like the Shenandoah Valley.
This is Andy Byrne. When we were watching those webinars, the one thing they were talking about, there are lots of communities of interest that people can put forth. They may not be mappable, and that's okay. We just won't be able to map them. But I don't think we need to short that as far as having data come in. As people being considering those things, I think it's just extra data that we won't be able to use. But I agree with the voting block thing that needs to come out. But whatever examples, I think that's fine. I like the idea of the economic connection.
Okay, so I am suggesting that for an example of a city, we could put Pine Grove, for example. Or it's a town. Okay. Jackson. Yeah, Ione. Okay.
Are we all in agreement that we want to have specific examples?
Your mic is off.
Andy Byrne, I'm not so sure we need specific examples. I think a city is pretty straightforward. I think a neighborhood, if somebody wants to name their neighborhood, they can choose that, and they can choose, you know, however they would name it. Some of them are by road name. Some of them have subdivision names. I think these are pretty straightforward. I don't think people would have a hard time coming up with an example in their own head for a city or a neighborhood. The enclave is a little trickier, and I don't know that I could come up with an example for that in our county. And if you're going to have an example for one of them, you should have an example for all of them. So I'd be more inclined to leave the examples out. I think it's pretty straightforward. I appreciate people wanting real specifics, but we're looking for the input being from somebody else's specificity, which I think would be helpful for that information to come in from individuals filling out the form.
This is Bruce. I agree with Andy. I don't think we want to slight anybody by suggesting or putting our values on what they consider to be their community of interest.
Okay, great. I originally agreed because that's why I didn't put it in there in the first place.
Or we agreed that we would.
Your mic.
Sure.
Your mic.
Chairman Sweet.
You need your mic on.
Or
not. It's your mic. I just wanted to point that, one, there's a lot of things you can find online about what's a community of interest. And one of them that isn't stated there but I think is of value is a group of people who have common policy concerns and would benefit from being maintained in a single district. I know we're going to have divisions, but you know how we are.
Bruce here. Maybe that could be stated if we give some generic type examples. So we could say a social or economic community, a neighborhood, a subdivision, just to get them. Just to start the thinking process.
So perhaps changing the wording from ethnic enclave to read something a little more understandable, like ethnic / economic.
Tends to have similar interests, such as and then list those generic types of things that we've talked about, social and economic interest, neighborhood, subdivision,
city.
Use the word enclave, village. You know, there's several things you could say to get people thinking about their own community of interest.
Don't leave it up in the air. Make a specific suggestion so we can move on from this question.
So what are we going to do with the data we generate from question number 8? Tom Patton.
If I may, Andy Byrne, it's the like the list that Gary put up, which is a very specific list. And what we can start doing, which is part of the next step that I was going to suggest, would be mapping those into the system, literally putting little red lines on a map so we can see at a glance how people see communities of interest in a map form. And that'll help us when we get to the point of drawing lines with actual numbers. So even if you get it down, one of the suggestions on Gary's list was dead-end roads, because that dead-end road, those people all go past each other's homes. They may not even be friends, but they are a community of interest. And if you suddenly draw a line through that, then you're splitting that community. So that's what we end up with. Like Pine Grove has lots of neighborhoods that have multiple supervisors in it. And so that's something that I came at this from, is trying to prevent that from happening with this next division. And so if we can get those drawn in on a map, we'll be a lot closer to getting to be able to draw lines that are less likely to split places. If that answers.
Yeah, that's good input. Thank you.
So regarding question number 8, so the end could say ethnic enclave that tends to have similar interests, such as economic policy and social standards, or something of the sort.
Andy Byrne again. I think we could do something like, you wouldn't even have to use ethnic enclave. You could just use groups that have similar interests in economics, agriculture, economics, agriculture, and pick a couple more. That would be that. Or ethnicity could be one of them also. So just putting it in as groups from there. The sentence right after neighborhood, when it goes, or groups containing ethnic, agricultural, or other or economic interests that would prefer to be undivided. I'm not a great wordsmith.
Consisting of instead of.
Yeah, there you go. Groups consisting of, yeah, that's good. Groups consisting, for example, economic, ethnic, agricultural interests. Yeah, social would be another good one.
Okay, so in the end, I have or groups that tend to have similar interests, such as ethnicity, social, agricultural, or economic interests.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Sorry, Keith. Wayne Garibaldi Jackson. I have a bit of an exception to the last sentence in that. It says, do you think the county's communities of interest are well represented?
Yeah, I agree.
That's being dropped altogether?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think replacing it with that, the suggestion there is really good, and then giving plenty of room for them to answer.
Good. I should have been looking at the screen instead of my copy.
Okay. Moving on to this one I see up here on the board. If you wanted to add an area to your present or future supervisor district, what geographic area or community do you feel should be included and why?
Don Dow, District 5. I think the first sentence should be, rather than add an area to your present or future supervisor district, I think it should be, if you want to add a community of interest to be considered in the redistricting process.
Right.
I agree.
I'd hate to get
yeah.
I'd hate to get stuck on this one.
Can you please repeat that once more?
I hope so.
let me see. If I wanted to add an area to be considered as a community of interest in the redistricting process, then the rest could read as it is.
Does everyone feel good about that?
Andy Byrne, I don't have a problem with it. It's kind of restating the previous question, what's your community of interest? I don't mind having it again, I think, because, again, that's what the meat of what we're trying to find out is what people think, so having a couple different answers is acceptable, but I think it's restating the same question.
Ann Kellertinian, Amador City. I think, actually, I agree with what Andy just said. It's kind of a restatement of the earlier question. But I also think that if you were to keep the question similar to how it is originally written, I think that you should also add, if you think that your supervisorial district is not, you think that your community of interest should be associated with a different supervisorial district.
Yeah.
Well, what district would that be and why?
If I may, Andy Byrne again. What other communities of interest do you think your community of interest is aligned with, perhaps?
In Amador City, I think we're aligned with Sutter Creek.
Yeah, well, no, that was kind of my – I was rephrasing your question because I heard where you were going with it. And so would that be – would you think that's a better way of phrasing it, perhaps, is what is your – whatever your – community of interest is, what are other communities of interest that you think align with your community of interest?
I think that will become very complex for people to answer the question.
Yeah, that's true.
because in number eight, they're going to answer the community of interest that's most important to them. It's all alike, which is more likely.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say, we think that our community of interest is more aligned with this community of interest rather than the one that we're currently in. So this is really about the supervisorial district that, and I understand that there's going to be a process of evaluating it, but I think at the end of the day that the citizens of Amador City, and I think perhaps Pine Grove, it sounds like as well, would also like to be able to say, hey, we think, something isn't working about how we're districted right now. Or maybe that's the question. Do you have issues with the way that your community of interest is currently associated with the supervisorial district?
I think that's a great question that I'm sure that there's a community of interest out there somewhere that might feel like they're being overlooked. So I wrote up a question that I think sounds good if you guys think it should be added. I said, do you think your community of interest should be integrated into a different supervisorial district?
Andy Byrne here. I don't dislike that. I think it's premature on this survey. I think we're looking more for identifying communities of interest rather than trying to shuffling them around a map. I think we're just trying to get an intro to mapping on this one. And I think people who have strong opinions like that are going to show up into the process at the public meeting system further down the road. So I think for this one, I think keeping it a little simpler than that is probably a good idea. I think asking the question again, what is your community of interest, phrasing it in a different way is fine because you want to poke people at different angles to get a different kind of answer out of them, which in getting multiple answers is reasonable because most people belong to more than one community of interest.
Sure. So I thought I understood that. Are we only doing one survey or are we doing more than one?
Well, we talked at the beginning that the purpose of the survey is seeing how the system is working and to get communities of interest, right? That was the purpose of this. And so I think that it's not wrong that we're looking for this other stuff too, but you don't want your survey to be overbroad. We want to really focus in on what we're actually trying to get on it. And I think, like I said, if people have strong opinions about where districts are going to be going towards later on in the process, I think they're going to come up again. And I think we're all aware of that at this point, too. But I think this particular survey is really looking for the information that we're looking for.
So, Ann Keller, Kimmy in Amador City. So that is a good clarification. And so it may be at the beginning of the survey, you should say something along the lines that the purpose of the survey is to gather information about the county's community of interest prior to, prior to doing the work of redistricting the supervisorial districts. So that way people wouldn't say, hey, I didn't know how to answer the questions of the input I really want to give is this other thing. But I think that a statement about the purpose of the survey would be helpful, and it would people who are taking this seriously, I think, would understand that there's later work to be done with this information.
I think if we looked at number 9 and number 10 together, those two separate suggestions, it seems to me that number 10 is what we were talking about. If we could eliminate 9, be my suggestion, and keep number 10, because I think number 10 is asking what we're talking about and trying to manipulate number 9 to say.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andy.
I wouldn't argue with that. I agree. But I do like the idea of putting it in the title of the survey that this is what we're looking for. We're looking for communities of interest because that is the overall thing that we're actually looking for.
We have a comment up here at the podium.
Gary Rynell. Yes, I agree with some of the things Andy has said here because I live in a landowner's there's a landowner association. We're split between two districts. And I might choose to stay in one district and somebody else may choose to go a different way. So that's asking our opinions, and I appreciate my opinion being asked. But I don't think I think the charge of this committee is that the decisions are made on the part of this committee, not on the part of me or somebody else's idea or. So I think that question would be much better to be removed, number 9. I think 10 would be more the kinds of information you're looking for. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is Tom Patton again. I'm going to go back to that 9. I think that's prompting people to think about identifying new, currently unidentified communities of interest. Where else do we ask that question there? 10 is talking about existing ones by keeping your community of interest intact. That implies that it already exists. 9 is providing input, asking for input on potential new ones.
Well, that's what number 8 does.
Yeah. If I may, Andy Byrne again. I don't think that when we're looking for quote unquote new communities of interest, they're not new. They're communities of interest that people are part of and they may not have been identified. So we're trying to identify communities of interest. Many are identified, many of them aren't. And so that's what we're looking for is identifying all the as many communities of interest as we can identify and that we can then map. So I think if we rephrase that 9 to ask again for your community of interest. I don't have a problem with that, using different words, but I also don't necessarily think it's necessary.
So does everyone agree that we should remove question number 9?
No. Tom Patton votes no.
We taking a vote.
We have some more Zoom.
Well, are we talking? We would probably need to define what that question is, because we did rework the wording of it. I think the new wording that we came up with was better than what was presented up there. I think what's presented up there is a little bit confusing.
Can you repeat what you rephrased it as, number nine?
I can't.
Did you get it, Heather? Did you get it down?
Yes, it's all recorded. Okay. We can get that.
All right. So you can do that?
At a later time, yes.
Okay.
And we do have another Zoom comment. If you're ready for that, please go ahead.
Oh, is it me?
Ms. Lubenko?
Oh, thank you. Sorry. I just wanted to go back to a question that came up a couple minutes ago, and that is with regards to, is this the only survey that will be going out? And I'm kind of hoping the committee can confirm that, just because I don't want to get into the weeds with some of these questions if it's going to be followed up with another survey that asks the other questions. And thank you so much for taking my comment.
Well, we'll be making decisions in terms of commissioners' input, community input, the board's input as to whether we do another survey or continue different types of surveys as we go along. So that's just kind of a thing that's up in the air, I believe. Okay.
So it sounded like our number 10 question we were interested in keeping. It reads, by keeping your community of interest intact in new district maps, in what ways would it enhance the quality of its representation? Does everyone feel solid about putting that question into our survey? Should it be altered in any way?
I think it's good.
Seeing nods. Okay, great. Then lastly, what other comments do you have about the 2021 redistricting process? Any questions about that one?
Can't go wrong with that.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
Looks like we can move on to our next matter.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good job. Heather will put that together and put it up on the website, and we'll be all set to go. You've got the flyer that you could reconstruct, and we can get that all. Get all out and get it on social media. Can you take care of that?
We can place that on our website, if that's what you're referring to.
Right. What if we wanted to get it elsewhere, Facebook? Do one of us have to do that, or can someone in the county can do that?
The county doesn't have a Facebook website or a Facebook page.
Heather, could you do that? All right. I'll take care of it.
For now, we could possibly just place it on our website and then figure out
where
we can go from there.
Yeah, you and I can figure out how we can get it to someplace else. Anybody have any suggestions on where to put it? Give Heather a call or send her an email.
We also have another Zoom comment. Please go ahead.
A quick comment, and I'll call Heather about this. This is Ann Kellertinian. I'd like to be able to post it on the Amador City website, and maybe other cities would be interested in doing that as well.
Yep. Anybody would be able to link to our website and get it that way, so any link on any other web page would be fine.
Thank you.
Actually, I think
it's a good segue
also
into our next item on the agenda. Website review. I hope you've all had a chance to look at the website. It changes every once in a while, so it's and if you have any suggestions right now, we will entertain them. But can you put the website up for us, Heather, please? Or Chuck?
The hub or our website?
Well, let's go to amadorgov.org to start with. While she's doing that, I want to make a comment for the commission members. If you look at you had maps that were handed out to you in the first meeting, and I only use this map just as to show you that the one that says block groups estimate 2019 population, and you have all those little tiny squares in there. All have a number in them in terms of the population. What we have and what the county does have in terms of data is 2010 data in each of those blocks. Bruce, Mr. Bracco, has given us some information tonight that kind of shows us that the 2010 population and the 2020 population from where he gathered it are not that distinctly different. So we could use conveniently 2010 data to draw new maps. The question that we've had all along is, how do we do that? Because, you know, I couldn't figure out how to get down in there and start adding them all up. The county has a layer on their county GIS that will do what Chuck is going to demonstrate here in a minute. However, the county only has one license. It doesn't have a license for 50 people. It doesn't have a license for 1,000 people. And to get a license for more than one is around $50,000. So the planning department, Mr. Beatty, and I work together. The commission members may come down to the county planning department, use the county's website, and manipulate as you want to the boundaries that you would like to design. And we've set up each day in 2-hour blocks. So what you need to do is call the county planning department, ask for Chuck, and set up a time to come down. You'll get a 5-minute introduction as to what you need to do to get to where you want to go. And then you can save it so that you can come back and play with it again some other 2 hours. Feel free to bring your district partner with you, or a neighbor, or somebody else that's convenient. But please, no more than two to start with, because we're going to be in their way as we're doing this. What Chuck is going to demonstrate in a few minutes, and he's getting it up here now, is a free program that's online. It's called District R, and I've requested that the county ask how much it's going to cost and whether we can upload Amador's data into this free program so that anybody in the county, as well as ourselves, obviously, can use it. It functions just like the county program does, and I wanted Chuck to demonstrate it tonight to show you, you know, how it does in terms of tallying up numbers. You'll see when he gets to it, he's choosing California, now he's choosing counties, and the only two counties you got are Sacramento and Los Angeles as samples to play with. You can see it's broken down into the census block groups, and you can zoom in on it.
Okay. So the way this one is set up, and we've asked District R to go ahead and provide Amador County's data. We did that last week. We haven't heard back, but I'm sure they're getting a lot of requests for information, but we'll see what happens. Our internal GIS will do the same thing that this application does. So if you wanted to create districts based on census blocks and the population of those census blocks, here we go. As you select a census block, you see the population appear here. As you continue to add blocks, it'll continue to tally the population. If you want to do it in mass, you widen your pin size, and you can just color away. And at that point, that small part of Folsom is larger than any of our districts can be, because I think our largest one is around 7,000 people, between 6,300 and 7,000. But our program works the exact same way. You can save that map, you can print it, share those with the committee members, they could be shared. You can copy those maps and share them through the redistricting Amador email if you want.
I submitted a request for them 2 months ago to add the Amador County data to their system, and hopefully you'll have better luck than I did.
Yeah. So what Chuck just demonstrated, obviously, is the functionality of the program, and the GIS system here at the county has the same functionality. So you can come in, draw your maps, save it, decide you want to make a change, and then at our meetings, we can bring it up, and you can share it, and say, and then we can have a discussion over whose map we like best or whatever, or what makes some tweaks and suggestions, and that's what we start talking about, where the community of interests are, and you split that neighborhood. Well, can't you keep it this way? So we're moving ahead, and I think that certainly gave me a better feeling for us being able to do something without having to manipulate the data like Stephanie was doing in the first meeting, where she'd gone all over the place trying to get something. So to reiterate, give Chuck a call, planning department a call. Any particular person they should call?
Ruslan Bratton.
Ruslan, okay. And he'll set up you can do it in 2-hour time blocks, bring a friend, and have at it. Ruslan.
Can you reserve by the week?
Or a fee?
Well, okay. Because there's 10 of us, I will set it up that way. You know, it's. Let's just start with 2 hours at a time, and go from there.
Andy Byrne here. Right now, I'm more concerned about trying to map the communities of interest onto this. How are we going to be able to do that? To actually get the list that Gary sent in mapped into the GIS system? Because if we don't have that in a map form, moving districts, moving blocks around isn't going to help us, right? Because that's not going to show us where these communities of interest are, which are kind of the backbone of what we're trying to draw.
Well, the only thing the first thing that comes to my mind, and I don't have the GIS system, I don't even know much about it. Do you have a layer? Can you create a map that might have all of our, the community of interest you're talking about, though, or
yeah,
geographic things like,
yeah,
like
dead end roads,
yeah,
pardon, like dead end roads, yeah.
Well,
and I would like to be able to map those, because I think if we map those, it will start to show us a picture.
Yeah.
Is there a way that we can? I mean, I don't mind taking my 2-hour block coming in and mapping these.
What it's going to end up being is us doing that work and
trying
to get the communities of interest identified, the geographic boundaries also identified and mapped in different ways of looking at it.
I agree.
Because there's going to be overlap also.
No, I agree. But what we're looking at, the mapping exercise, is kind of creating district stuff, you know, taking census blocks and adding them up.
Right.
And that's not what I'm interested in right now. I think I eventually will be interested in that, because mm-hmm. that's how we will create an actual map. But I think I personally think I'm way early on that now. I mean, that's something I'm looking forward to after we get all this other data that isn't based on census data on the maps, because I think that's actually the more interesting data. So, and I'm wondering if we can do that.
Well, looking at what Chuck just did hypothetically there in Folsom, you know, say you said that that is a community of interest. That's what you would take, and we could save that. And if you all agreed that's what you wanted to find, then any hypothetical maps that were created from that point would not split that area up. You know, and that's a good starting point. You're right. It will start to create a picture.
And also, Andy, when you look at it from like Gary's list here, the natural communities of interest or the political boundaries of cities. Then after that, you get the non-incorporated areas like Drytown and Lockwood, and that leads to census-designated places like Lockwood and like Mace Meadows, which is now is community census-designated community. And then you just keep working smaller until you get down to neighborhood level and, you know, multiple streets. And the hard part is what we've been working on today is getting other people to help us identify those communities and their boundaries.
Right. So when we get this information, Andy Byrne again, when we get this information from this survey, thank you, that we're taking, those will have to be mapped in the same way. And so I guess that's what I'm saying. Can we – I'm not seeing the taking the census block thing. I'm literally looking road by road because I think that's how most people are picturing it. They're not picturing it by census blocks. It's like my community isn't based on what the census block says. I think the census blocks will have to work around those to make them fit, you know, over the map that we're mostly used to. I think most people are used to looking at a roadmap, and that's kind of where I would want to start my mapping procedure.
Let me jump in here and ask the planning department whether, and I'll put it in its, I think, what in its simplest form. Can you map River Pines on the census map that we're working with in terms of census blocks?
So River Pines is already a census-designated place, so there's a census-generated boundary for River Pines.
Okay.
That's not to say that somebody can't look at that map and go, well, it's not big enough. I think an area east or west of River Pines is part of that community.
But we do have a list of all those communities that are on that, correct? You just said River Pines is one of them that's identified.
There's 15 of them, and they all show up on the redistricting website on the hub, on the mapping site.
So,
and Keith, that's
a start.
Yeah,
Keith, the level of granularity in the census blocks is such that in just the town of Volcano, there's like 8 census blocks, and the St. George is one of its own, and it gets down to that level of detail. So you can have really high resolution and very fine granularity in setting your communities of interest if you know what the boundaries are.
Yeah, well, there may be a limitation. I'm not sure. Chuck has to respond to that. For example, can we map all the dead-end roads in the county?
Yes. That might take a while.
Yeah,
but you need to think about where most of them are. And I think most of them are upcountry, and those are likely going to be in one district because reaching two arms up into the upcountry is not going to meet the gerrymandering standard by any means.
Thank you.
So large clusters of them are going to be in you know, similar areas, I think.
Andy Byrne again. For full disclosure, I helped Gary Rennell create that list. There was a group of us who did that. And so when we started drawing it on the map, those things start to really scream at you, like areas that need to be held together. It becomes very obvious. And that's why I want to get these on these spaces actually just drawn on a map, because I think they'll tell us a lot.
All right. I'm only facilitating a conversation between you and Chuck here at the moment.
So what can I do, Chuck?
Because I'm trying to find that list.
It's a long list.
So, and that list has all 15 CDPs
yeah,
on it?
Yeah, for sure. We started big and we worked smaller, yeah.
And some of those areas, like Running Gold, for example, that that subdivision has a specific boundary.
Mm-hmm.
That boundary may not be congruous with the census blocks, though. It's probably not.
Right. Well, like I said, if we map it and then overlay it with census blocks, that will be, again, that's another part of the picture that gets being built up.
In likelihood, the population for that census block that straddles the boundary of the subdivision, the population is going to be in the subdivision and not outside of it.
Right. Right. That's how I was seeing
but
it.
But we won't know until we get the data.
Exactly. Right. Well, and that's why I was saying that what I would like to do is not data dependent, is why, and that's why I want to do it, is because it's not dependent on what the data says, and the data will overlay on that and tell us a lot.
I think Andy has a great point, and I think that's a really great way to go. But I think we're almost due for time, so what's our next subject matter that we need to address?
Well, before you go, Chuck, I'm going to ask Andy to meet with Mr. Beatty.
Sure.
And see where and what is convenient and capable of the
All right.
county can do that
yep.
that relates to the
That's great.
The issue that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
I'm happy to do that. Yeah.
And then we'll move from there. Does anybody have any input with respect to the website itself? We started there and got sidetracked on the map. We will stop at 7:30, by the way, as I've indicated in the past, wherever we are. The only thing left on our agenda is any questions or any agenda items for the next meeting. If you have any, please submit them to Heather. And our next meeting is a joint meeting, which will present what we've done thus far to the Board of Supervisors on June 30th at 6 p.m. in this room.
6
p.m. Yeah.
Andy Byrne, I have one thing about some of the emails. There's been some emails going out to the whole group that I think that's probably not what we're supposed to be doing. I received
correct.
An email today that went out to, like, everybody. And I think that's not supposed to be happening from
yeah.
the Brown Act issues.
Yeah, please send, if you want to distribute an email to everybody, please send the email to Heather and Heather will redistribute it.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah. We won't identify the person who did that, who's left-handed.
It also increases the reply all thing, which just is just traumatizing my inbox.
So I would encourage you again to review the website, starting with amateurgov.org and working your way through down to our redistricting survey form. I would only ask that we get our commission members on there. And I think we talked about moving the survey up so that it's not hidden way at the bottom of that page and a few other things. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything good for the order? We've got exactly 30 seconds. I want to thank everybody on Zoom for participating. We look forward to seeing you at our next meeting. Thank those of you in the audience, and please the alternatives, please show up again, continue showing up. And thank you, commission members, for being here. If there's any food left out back out there, make sure you take something if you haven't already had a chance to eat your dinner. Otherwise, the planning department will eat it tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye.